This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And we thank you for sharing that with us.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What do you think that means to the locker room that they bring Saquon in there?
Saquon got an opportunity to not just choose where he wants to go, but to stick it to his team. And if these teams don't like it, then pay guys.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, director of Apple TV's Dynasty Rise of the New England Patriots, Matthew Hamacek, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hello everybody, back in the chair, happy to be with you. Susie Schuster with you, and thrilled to be such. Hello, TJ. Good morning to you. Good afternoon, wherever you are.
What's up, Suze? How you doing?
Hi there. I'm great. I'm happy to be here. Mikey D, how are you?
Good morning, Suze. How you doing?
Christopher, I watched 3.5 hours. Of the Patriots dynasty yesterday.
You got caught up?
Coop and I sat on the sofa, and we sat there and we watched 3.5 hours in advance of Matthew Hamacek joining us today. And let me tell you something. Wrapped in.
Last two episodes, I think, drop at like midnight Eastern tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we will be all in for them. I can't wait to have him on. And guys, if you've heard about Taco Tuesday, it is hypothetical Thursday. I've got lots of questions for him. I've got questions that are just on my mind, and Christopher looked at me like I was crazy for the first couple questions, but I don't care. Can't get fired, so I might as well ask these questions. Anyway, thrilled to be with you guys. Hey. 844-204-RICH is the number. Please call in. You know I love that. Watch us on the Roku channel, and as you know, it'll re-air over and over again so you can hear me absolutely ask inane and crazy questions for hours on end or wherever you find your Rich Eisen Show. We are thrilled to be with you here today.
What do we want people to call in about today? We want your questions about your team during free agency. You like what they're doing. You don't like what you're doing.
I'd like to hear from any Pats fans or non-Pats fans who've watched this documentary just to see.
Yeah.
Because I know I feel a certain way about it. And you, and I'm sure, Susie, you probably feel the same way as Patriots fans. You're looking at it a little bit differently, wishing it had gone left when it went right, I think. And I'm like, okay, I like the direction they went, but I know you don't love it. So.
Well, I mean, I was talking to my brother on the way in, as you can imagine.
He's got lots of thoughts.
He's got a lot of thoughts on this. A lot of thoughts on, he's like, this is a Bill Belichick hatchet job. And I think that's what a lot of people think, is that how is Bill now the, how is he now the
ball guy?
Lord, what's his name? Voldemort. In the Harry Potter series.
Sure,
how is he the source of all evil in this? We will ask some questions of this, and I'm fascinated to ask, God, did you spend years going through footage? How is there video of Bill opening his door at 4 a.m. over and over again?
Great stuff. Right?
How are they everywhere?
How is there video of Aaron Rodgers messing around on the field when Tom Brady got, or Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Hernandez. We were just talking about him. But Aaron Hernandez messing around on the field, Chris, when we hear the story that Brady got mad at him and kicked him off the field.
Yeah, Brady's,
and there's
like
video of it.
MFing him, like, get off the field.
Because he was tossing the ball around.
Yeah, screwing around, wearing flip-flops or whatever. And then they cut to a shot of Brady yelling at it. It's unbelievable.
And Hernandez is sitting there just tossing the ball up to himself.
Yeah, the footage they got from this, dating all the way back to the first episode, Brady's roommate, when he was a rookie, had all this camcorder footage of them living in their bachelor pad, which I think was Ty Law's old condo or something.
He bought it from Ty Law.
And fully furnished, like drunk Brady playing pool at midnight, you know, on off days. It's really amazing. If you haven't watched it yet, it's on Apple TV. It's unbelievable.
Whether
it's
you're a Patriots fan or not,
I think it is appointment viewing.
Yeah. And good thing we have Matthew Hamacek on today so we can ask him all sorts of questions like, where did you get that? And also, can you shoot a documentary if one of your subject matters is a producing partner on it? I think the whole thing is fascinating. It's Hypothetical Thursday, like I said. I have a lot of hypothetical questions for Michael Irvin, who will join us sometime in this first hour. And by when I say sometime, he just got off the air at Fox. He's going to make his way down the 405. And as we would say in the Californians episode, he's going to come out and go on Pico and make a left on National and a right on the 10 West to, you know, the 405 South.
Suze, let's ask Del Tufo. Mike, what's the quickest way for Irv to get here?
Oh, God.
You take that route, right?
Straight down the 405 South. Boom.
Right here?
Yeah.
That's it.
110.
And yeah, what will get here first, the sidecar donuts or Michael Irvin? Yeah, right.
I'd prefer the, if you order donuts.
I order donuts. I have no time to stop.
I prefer them to get here like ASAP Rocky. Yeah. You know, but you're always good for something, Suze.
ASAP Rocky, a neighbor of Travis and Taylor. I looked up some stuff this morning as I looked up inane things we don't need to talk about on Roku today.
ASAP,
but hey.
Get like me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just getting to know your neighborhood by who lives there. Anyway, so we've got Michael Irvin coming in, and I have some hypothetical questions for him about Dak and money and should he resign. And then Steve Kerr in the third hour, he will zoom in for us. He got in from Dallas about 1:30 in the morning. We said, don't do the first 2 hours, sleep in. He needed his rest. So we'll ask him about Steph Curry, because Steph didn't go with them, obviously, to Dallas. That was a shall we say, a forgettable game. And Draymond out as well. So we'll ask him some questions about what's happening with the Warriors. And, I don't know, the state of the world. Steve Kerr, you can ask him just about anything.
Nice.
Can you imagine if I ask him, do you think... Again, it's Hypothetical Thursday. Steve, what are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, fresh off of an ayahuasca trip, announcing as VP... What do you think?
Why did I know that's what you were going to say as soon as you started that sentence?
Rich has never been so happy to be sleeping through the first segment of his show.
I bet Steve has some really interesting thoughts about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. As Rich Eisen would say, I would proffer to say he does.
Yeah.
No, I would proffer to say Rich is glad he's not on the air.
I'd prefer to say that he's glad he's not here. That said, yeah, Kirk Morrison will be.
I want to do 3 hours about Aaron Rodgers.
He's not here. He's sleeping. He's earlier than we are right now, so he's not. We can just go off the rails, people. We can do whatever we want because he's not there. Speaking of some guy who does not go, off the rails, one of the more measured guys in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins, spoke yesterday with the Falcons announcing his signing. Let's take a listen to that.
You know, I think in Minnesota, it was trending over the last couple off seasons to be in somewhat year to year, and as we talked with Atlanta, it felt like this was a place where, you know, if I play at the level I expect to play, that I can retire a Falcon. And that was something that really excited me. And that's certainly the goal. And you got to earn the right to do that. But that was exciting to feel like I could get that opportunity here.
So since it's Hypothetical Thursday, this is what I wanted to ask you guys. And it occurred to me, I get why he went to Atlanta. His wife, I believe, is from Georgia too, right? And they were looking at real estate ahead of time. And $45 million a year through 2027. He's 35. He's going to be 36, right, Chris?
His birthday is third week of August, so he'll be 36 when the season kicks off in September.
Okay, and I know that he's excited to be with Raheem Morris. I get that. He's got Bijan Robinson. He's got a lot of tools. I get it.
Drake London, hit Darnell Mooney in free agency, Kyle Pitts.
Right, and he mentioned that he was excited because he thought it was year-by-year with Minnesota.
Yep.
Would you sign him? Would this be somebody that you would want? Because it seems to me, and we will hear from him in a moment about this, but it seems to me here's a guy that's getting paid a lot of money coming off of Achilles. And he said, I'm not even sure what I'm going to get until I get out there playing, because he's cleared for everything except for Achilles. Let's take a listen to him talking about his thoughts on can he win post one game in the playoffs.
Does it bug you that you haven't had that playoff success? Is that kind of hanging over your head that, like, my career won't be complete until have a deep run in the postseason?
I certainly think that, you know, quarterbacks will always be evaluated based on not just September to December, but January and February. And that's where you want to get to because of September to December. And then once you get there, you want to have meaningful wins and play meaningful games in January and February. And that's where I want to go, and I believe we can go.
By the way, kudos to him for matching the background. I mean, the gray and the crimson, he picked out his clothes very selectively, I thought, to go with his team. And also, doesn't he look like he should be either selling you something or he's a college coach? He just right? I mean, there's just something about him that it's just so measured and so delivered. But I don't know, Chris, what do you think? Is this something, because I think you and Rich were saying yesterday, as I was weaving in and out of traffic, I thought I heard you guys loving this sign. Don't make that face. But I'm not sure that I think this is like the greatest signing in the world. Yeah, it's a lot of money for a guy coming off an Achilles.
Sure. I've heard both sides, people who think it's great, and now the Falcons are suddenly contenders in the NFC. And I've heard, you know, a lot of questions about it. Soon to be 36-year-old guy coming off of an Achilles injury. But I've been super critical of Kirk in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Primetime Kirk is, you know, he's probably wish he had better days in some of these big games. The playoff game 2 years ago against the Giants wasn't great either. But if you look at his numbers and you look at his production and what he does well, guy has been a really successful and in the top third of the league quarterback-wise for a while now. He's at, I think, 7 or 8 4,000-yard seasons. You're going to get 30-plus touchdowns. You're going to get around 10 picks. And you're going to win some games. Now, are you going to win the big games? I don't know. But if you're Atlanta, you really had no choice. You know, Arthur Blank is in his 80s. How many more years can he watch Marcus Mariota's and the Desmond Ritter's and the Taylor Heineke's go out there and win 7 or 8 games? Like, he wants to take a big swing. And while he has all this talent on offense and a young coach, didn't go with Bill Belichick, went with Raheem. And I think this is a great move. They really had no other choice. It's essentially a 2-year deal if you look at the guaranteed money. So let's see where it is after 2 years. Kirk wants to retire a Falcon. It's set up to do so. Well, win some games. Go 11-6 next year. Go 12-5 in 2025. Win a playoff game. Maybe get to the NFC Championship. And then you're going to retire a Falcon. And I think that's it's all laid out for him. It's just, is he healthy? And can he keep the productivity up that he's been accustomed to doing the last few seasons?
And Raheem, who he knows from his Commander days, or Washington days is a better way to put it. You know, you mentioned an aging owner. I mean, you would almost say it's the same idea with Dallas. You'd almost say that you've got an older owner who wants to win now. And good thing we have Michael Irvin coming in, because the question is Dak the right guy? Is Dak the right guy? Is he going to win now? Because it just seems to me, why aren't they making bigger moves? Why are we talking about one linebacker? Why? I want to know from Michael if he's at all frustrated with Dallas's lack of moves. TJ, are you frustrated?
Not really. I mean, traditionally, and we've said this before, they don't really make a dent in free agency that often. So it's nothing that, as a fan, should surprise you, because this has never really been the Cowboys' way to go out and make big free agent signings. So I honestly don't know what's going on. I'm not going to sit here and speculate, and, you know, I'm not in that room. I don't know. I'm just going to sit back and watch, and as always, you just got to trust the process. I kind of feel, though, Jerry and Arthur Blank are in a far different situation. I mean, no matter what you want to say about Jerry, no matter how long it's been, he still has 3 of those championships sitting in a trophy case. That's 3 more than probably 90% of the men who've ever owned a professional football team. A lot of people don't want to give him credit for that. You know, maybe it's because the success happened so early on and it's been so long. But, you know, that is just a fact of the matter. Is he wants more, but he does have 3. So
I know, but there are 3 that are older. And I just feel like when it comes to a lot of these billionaire owners, it's like the Gordon Gekko, like more is more.
Yeah. I also, Susie, Chris, and Mike, I'm also not sure that winning a Super Bowl is maybe the main focus of what's going on there. You know, you have the most valuable franchise in sports, right? Without having won a championship in 30 years. All the success he has in his other businesses, it seems like the money's rolling in. Maybe the football team isn't the primary focus. I don't know. You just, as a fan, you're reaching, you're grasping, you're trying to figure out what the deal is. And that's where I'm at right now. Everything else is so successful. This is just another cog in the wheel. So
I don't know. I feel like Matthew Hamacek is a good person to ask, the director of the Dynasty, only because if you take your approach to that, that's antithesis of what it looked like with the Patriots. They'd won a couple, and then they had a couple years of not getting there. And then all they could think about was getting back. Don't you think, Chris? I mean, like,
well, I don't think that the Cowboys aren't trying.
I think they have. It has to be your focus.
A really interesting strategy when, you know, we've been talking about it all week, the all-in quote by Jerry. And then you look at the first now 3 days of free agency and they've signed two guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they re-signed the long snapper and they brought in Eric Kendricks. So it's just kind of,
hey.
Look
at that list getting bigger.
But that's kind of Susie's question, TJ. Like, are you frustrated? Are you frustrated to see two names in that list? Whereas, where's the running back? Where's maybe not the wide receiver, but where's a lineman? Where's an edge player?
That's right.
Where are those guys?
I think that the frustration is not there for me specifically because, and we've talked about this over and over, Rich came in, said he heard some stuff. Said you weren't going to be happy with what I'm hearing. And then it turned out what he heard was that they didn't intend on making these big splashes. So it's kind of like, you know, the ending of the movie. Are you going to be mad as you sit there and watch it as it unfolds? Like, I was already told we weren't going to do anything. And as a fan, yeah, you want to get upset. But what can we do? You know, there's nothing that we can do. You got to sit back here and watch and wait. And, you know, a lot of people are going to get upset. That's not going to help you in your daily day.
but as a fan, like, it's not about daily day. It's about, like, it's about fandom. It's about thinking, like, but maybe the Cowboys way isn't working. And if your owner owns one of the most prolific and legendary and valuable franchises in sports, don't you wake up in the morning and think, how am I going to get that trophy? How am I going to get that trophy? Because we know that Jerry Jones loves to win. And so it seems to me that maybe if that's not the Cowboys' way, do you change the way? Do you start to get a little bit more aggressive?
And maybe that's what this is, though. Maybe this is a different way. Because what has been going on for the last decade or so hasn't really been working. What, one or two playoff wins in the last, you know, few years? No championship game appearances. So when Jerry says all in, he's all in with what he has now. I mean, they have won three straight years at 12 wins. Mm-hmm. They just, you know.
The playoffs come, it doesn't.
It hasn't correlated into a lot of playoff wins.
And what will happen with Dak Prescott ahead?
So let Dak play it out. Let him play it out and let him earn his next deal. It doesn't make sense to us and all the cap people. You got Mike McCarthy kind of lame ducking it next year.
Could have had Bill.
Could have had Bill. Bill's still going to be there.
Well, sunburned from Nantucket.
Now you have to wonder, though, is Bill's way, like, are we at that point now where that style of coaching, after what we've watched this documentary, now you got to wonder, okay, is that really the way? Because we're in a new generation.
Yeah,
and like Chris,
absolutely.
We said this a few weeks ago, it's like you either have to adapt or you're going to get run over by this new world. Like, yeah, you can try to stop TikTok, but the fact is the kids are so invested, the younger people, the youth, they're not going to allow something like that to happen.
Right.
Times are changing.
Yep.
So does that mean you have to change the coaching style? Is Bill's way? We talk about guys needing a hug, and he wouldn't give Brady a hug, even though Tom was so good he didn't need it, but he would have loved to have one. Nowadays, these guys need a little reassurance.
Yeah.
Is that the way anymore? Who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say, he sure didn't give Mac Jones a hug. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll keep talking about this. Nick Saban's still continuing to talk about the NIL as well. And we'll have Michael Irvin ahead. So good thing we have a Cowboy. Good thing I booked
my own show. Fired up about it.
This is much more ahead on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What was it like picking this trophy up for the first time?
It was the greatest thing. And it really was, Rich. It really was.
Do you remember the circumstances?
Thing. Oh, my God, man. First of all, you got to go back and think about, like, we were 1-15. We were 3-13, 1-15. When you're 3-13 and 1-15 Cleveland Browns, I know you don't think there's any chance that you would ever lay a hold of something like this. So to go from those days to coming in 92 and winning that Super Bowl and actually somebody handing you that trophy, the most incredible thing, most incredible feeling in the world.
Did you ever step in when you heard that Jimmy and Jerry were not doing well, or your station wasn't that in life at that point in time?
I just didn't think anything would happen, Rich. I really didn't. I was like, well, are you joking? You know how hard it is to win Super Bowls, and you have a formula that's working. And Jerry Jones, I'm telling you, that's the one thing. I'll never forget Jerry Jones telling me that when I was negotiating with him. And I was saying, you know, I'll go to Cincinnati. And it was just, I'm just talking, trying to get my monies up. I said, I'll go to Cincinnati. You can get Carl Pickens over here, and let's see what happens. And Jerry said, Michael, you know, when I see you, I see Michael Irvin and the Dallas Cowboys. He said, I kind of see it like Magic Johnson in the Lakers. He said, what is Magic without the Lakers? And what are the Lakers without the Magic? He said, you guys, they belong together, just like you and the Cowboys. He said, Michael, the best way I can tell you, if a bomb hit Valley Ranch today, that's where we practiced, and blew everything up, everybody, everything, when the smoke clears, baby, me and you, we going to still be here. So we might as well work this deal out right now. So,
that's what he said to you?
I promise you. I said, this dude is a fool. This dude is a fool. He had me laughing as he was telling me no about my money.
That's why you're in the Hall of Fame together.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Thrilled to be here with you guys. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 844-204-RICH is the number. It's Hypothetical Thursday. I have a lot of really randos on my head right now, and I want to throw them out here just to annoy Chris Brockman this morning.
What do you got?
Okay. The Bears have clearly outplayed their hand with Justin Fields, correct?
Seems like it.
Okay, seems like they thought somebody would want him. Very talented young quarterback. Hasn't panned out the way they want it to be. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, they're going to get somebody. Oh, by the way, Drake May's good. Does anybody pay attention? So the question is this. If there were up to 65, I think, quarterbacks that got hurt or that played last year, right? 65 guys lined up. Why wouldn't you just maybe keep him if he's getting 1.5? They're not picking up the fifth year. We know this. What about just holding on to him in case your quarterback you're taking some reason isn't ready or gets hurt or has an Aaron Rodgers and suddenly he's out for the year? Who's there that's better? And if you want to set yourself up to win, why not keep him just in case?
How is keeping him setting yourself up to win?
What if their drafted quarterback isn't ready or gets hurt? Wouldn't you want to have the very best quarterback out there that's available? Oh, what if it's a guy on your team? Who else are they going to get that's going to back up that would be better than him?
Yeah, but you don't want to think worst case scenario.
I always think worst case scenario. I'm a mom of three.
I know, but you're not an NFL general manager.
I know that.
Which is too bad. That'd be interesting. That'd be a good show, by the way. Pitch a show.
Oh, what is it?
You inherit the team and you have to take over as GM knowing nothing about football. Kind of like a reverse Ted Lasso.
Do we see this as a scripted show or an unscripted show?
Scripted.
Roku, if you're watching, we're back.
We're not going to give you a real team, so scripted.
Isn't this essentially the premise of Major League?
Well, they were trying to lose.
They were trying to lose because wasn't it a divorce thing?
Ownership was trying
to run the team who didn't know.
I think you just you don't even want it in the building. You don't even want
you're
the
worried
option.
About
you don't
poisoning
even want the
well, right?
You've already made a decision that you're going to take a guy number one who's kind of been the guy anointed this for the last 2 years, and you like him. You think he's generational. You think you could be a Mahomes 2.0 or whatever. Let's just be all in that direction. So you don't even want to think about him getting injured, not being up to speed. And plus, if he's not up to speed, don't you want him to learn from a veteran, not from a guy that's gotten you
who
the
are
number
you gonna
one,
get,
the
Chris?
Number one pick the last 2 years?
Who's the veteran going to be that they're going to get?
Anybody not named Justin Fields.
Time's a wasting. I just feel like...
But there's guys out there. You could bring Andy Dalton back for all the matter. You know what I mean? You got... it's just not a tenable situation.
I know, but it's fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about. But if you're Justin Fields, you're kind of wondering, hey, where am I going to be playing next year?
Well, don't forget, the last time I was sitting in the chair, I actually talked about the psychological effects of this on Justin Fields. And I was told by three or four people, like,
you're flipping on that.
Because it's Thursday. No, I still feel very strongly that what they're doing with him is the wrong approach for him as a person. Like, as a mom, I just think to myself, if this is my child, and I understand he's paid handsomely. I understand that he chose to be a football player, and this is a man's world. I don't want to hear from all the guys like, you don't get it because you're a woman. You don't get it. I get it. Believe me.
It just felt like the Bears thought that they were going to get a lot more interest in Justin Fields than they've gotten. They were, I'm sure they just assumed, hey, we'll just deal him for a late first, early second round pick before free agency starts, and then we can be all in on Caleb Williams, or, you know, maybe Jaden Daniels wows us and we take him and kind of shock everybody. And it just never happened. And then free agency hits and Russ goes here and Gardner Minshew goes here, and all these spots are kind of filling up the musical chairs. And now they're left with, oh man, Mac Jones was a what? A sixth round pick for him? Sheesh, are we even going to get a fourth for Fields now? And so then they've got to be kicking themselves. Whereas I think Ryan Poles has done a pretty good job as the Bears GM the last couple of years. And now it's, how do we get rid of this guy?
So everyone has a short memory in the National Football League and in sports, period. Does his handling of this affect his future? Does that erase the years before this? Because it just seems to me like this has been played poorly. And
Fields and or the Bears front office?
The Bears front office.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Caleb Williams ends up being amazing and the Bears are kind of set up to maybe kind of do what the Texans did this year and make the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game. And if that happens, no one's going to remember what they got for Justin Fields, whether it's a third or fourth or fifth round pick. No one's going to really care or remember. So as long as they get it right and Caleb Williams hits and is successful and has a really great rookie season, TJ, I think none of it's going to matter in their handling of Justin Fields, in my opinion.
Could be very well, but good thing Michael Irvin just walked in. By the way, definitely beat what time I thought. I thought traffic, 4:05, it could be any time between now and, I don't know, 11:55. But Michael Irvin is here. Let's go to break. When we come back, the Playmaker will join us, and we'll have him answer all the questions we have about the world and world peace, et cetera, and the Bears.
Mike Del Tufo over there, when Justin Hartley of This Is Us was here on Friday, he planks weights on his back. Okay, there he is, putting plank after plank. That was a 45-pound. He waves on more weight. See, come on, let's get some more. Right? Del Tufo sees this and goes, I could do that, is what he said. And Mike, he said he would do 145. Now, we took that, when you say when he can do 145, how much weight do you think that means?
Just off 145.
Head. Right.
No. One plate that weighs 45 pounds.
Get out of here.
How long do you say you can do this?
A minute. Come on.
All right, here we go.
Mike, get off your knees.
Go to the right spot in your mind now. Go to the right spot in your mind, buddy. Come on. Look at him. All we see is the finish line, baby. All we see
coach
is
him up, Irv.
That's
coach
all
him up.
See. figure is simple, baby.
Ooh.
Right
uh-oh,
now,
uh-oh.
Don't worry about the body, baby. Our mind's controlling our body. Our
preach,
body
Michael, preach!
Our mind. We got this, baby. We got the. We gonna show the world. That's what you're about to show.
What do we got?
Show the world, baby. Don't worry about it.
Just 24 seconds. Flatten out. Flatten out.
Don't worry about it. You got two blocks out. All you got two blocks gone.
Halfway home.
You got two blocks gone. You halfway got two home. More go. All see, just see that finish line. Look at the glory. Look at your chest touching the tape. Get your chest on that tape. Look at you, baby.
20 you're seconds to go.
In. You're coming in 20 seconds, baby. You can finish this, man. We can do this.
I do that every day, people, at the gym.
I can't tell.
I do it. I do it.
Back here with Michael Irvin here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you guys, I try to bring you great guests. So what did I do? Oh, yeah. I called Michael yesterday and I put him on the spot. And I said, Michael, can you come in and sit with me tomorrow? And I thought maybe he'd Zoom in. He's like, yeah, I'll be there by 9:30. I'm like, what? Okay. Yes. Then I said, will he really be in there by 9:30? I'm like, let me make sure I get really good donuts because Michael's coming in. And you walked in the door early. You
got
paid out.
Got in here. I run a tight schedule like that now. You know, I get from that Fox slot. Sometimes I'm off the air at 9. I'm on a 10 a.m. flight. Of course, I'm real. You know, I don't fly private. I only fly commercial. I'm scared of the little plane.
Man of the people.
Especially PK post-COVID. I don't mess with them. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, I have to. I got everything set up at the airport. We're great friends. They understand I'm always be running right up to the dough. Not the door. I'm going to always run right up to the dough. It's the dough. Don't close that dough. Wait. Okay, come on. Michael. Yeah, how you doing? Thank you. I appreciate y'all. And I get on the plane. You know what I mean? It's all tight. I'm running a tight schedule. Real tight schedule.
C1 Irv?
Seat one, Irv.
I'm right. Well, not one because my knees are bad, but two, anything back from two. I just can't sit bulkhead. And people get on me so funny because they like, why won't you? Why are you afraid to fly private? But you fly all the time. I'm afraid to fly, period. But I'd rather fly commercial because I think they got more than one engine on them planes. And remember, I saw it one time. It was a plane. Remember, it caught on fire. One of the engines caught on fire. They turned that plane around and got it back to the airport. I said, I've never flown anything but them things right there. Them commercial planes. Well, one engine goes out, I got another one. But let me tell y'all something. I'm so, when I'm on the planes and when I first sit down, everybody, and they get their phones out, right? And they're like, act like they're texting and taking pictures to send everybody. And then, of course, I get open. And then we hit a turbulence. And I grabbed them so strong, right? Because I get so scared. And they be like, ooh, wait a minute. I said, oh, you ain't so happy to sit next to me now. Because I really get scared. And, man, I don't know why I can't do it. I just get scared. I've been working on it. You know, like all the... the things, my
pressure
anxieties,
point.
They say if you hold
pressure
it.
Pressure points. Yep.
Oosa.
You know, stuff like that. It helps sometimes. But, yeah, I'm scared to fly. I fly almost every day.
So, hold on. There's so much to unpack here. This is my favorite conversation we've had in a long time on the show. Okay, so Michael Irvin here on The Rich Eisen Show. By the way, 844-204-RICH is the number. He's willing to take your questions, people, so start calling in.
Going on in free agency right now. This crazy.
Wait, we're not going past the plane thing.
Yeah, okay,
hold on. So, what's the craziest thing somebody next to you has done on a plane? Do people, like you said, people take surreptitious photographs, but.
Right. Now, it's only been about a couple of years that I really stopped flying private. And the last time, I think it might have been one of the fights in Vegas. You know, all my friends have planes, all of them. Michael, let me send you an airplane. And right, they'll send me a plane. I have some business in Abilene. I was in Dallas, and they'll send a plane. It's a G6, beautiful plane, big old, that's a beautiful plane. I walk up to it, and I'm about to get on the door. I start sweating heavy. I turn around, I go right back at the regular airport, go get me a Southwest Airline ticket.
No way. Say,
no.
You can fly
Come
the
on.
Plane back, pick me up at Southwest Airline. I'm coming in right now. I ain't getting on it. I get scared. You know, everybody else be trying to get them shots walking up. I'm not that man. I don't care about those selfie shots walking up to a private plane. Get me somewhere safe and on the ground. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's just crazy how it is. Now, my guy John Sacker, we were coming out of Las Vegas. And I had to go see this fight, and I had to make it back here. So I had to get fly private because I had to work Sunday, and there's a Saturday night flight. And I said, okay, I'm going to try it. I get on this plane, and we're taking off. And coming out of Vegas, there's some turbulence, you know. Ooh, oh, my God. Oh, and I'm... And they're just making a joke about it. I literally wanted to rip his damn head off. This is not the time to be joking. I was scared for real. And that was it. I'll never get on it again because your friends know that you're scared. And they think it's a damn joke. And they get you up there, and that plane start playing.
Might not think he's going to die. I really think I'm about to die.
And they joking like it's a joke. I'm like, dude. Boy, you really test our friendship. Boy, I'm about to whoop his butt up in that plane. You know what I mean? I was scared, man. So I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't even do it. For that little selfie shot? Y'all just doing it for the selfie shot.
No, I would do it because it's nice. Please, man. And I hate airports.
I need a big plane.
A Jerry Jones
plane.
Well,
I've taken Jerry plane a couple of times, you know, but I kind of had some help. They gave me something to take to kind of knock me out and then wake me up when I get there. Like when Miami played Clemson in a championship game and I had to be back here Sunday morning, I took Jerry's flight, watched my son play in Clemson, and I made it back. But I took something. I was gone. Wake me up when I got there. I said, hey, that was a great flight.
That's how you know the A-team I mean? Used to get BA up on the flight.
As long as I'm out, I'm okay, but I can't take because I don't do roller coasters and all that old bumping and
no.
I'm just, I don't know.
Hate roller coasters.
I worked so hard now, man. I worked too hard to finally get a little bit of money to get up in one of them planes and don't come down the right way, if you know what I mean.
Ask Rich how many times I have texted him, I don't think it's going to make it. I think we got too much turbulence. And he's like, you're fine. This happens, by the way, all the time. Window into our marriage. Like, too much turbulence. He's like, you're going to be fine.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I think it's scary, too. You on private planes or regular?
I think any plane.
Yeah. No. I can handle the big ones hitting the turbulence. See, I get scary. I get scary, but that I can't do the little thing anymore.
Can you imagine you're like a Cowboys fan or you're like an NFL
so
fan?
Excited when
Michael
they
Irvin
see me. Oh my
sits
God,
down next to you.
So excited. As soon as we hit that turbulence, and I put this death grip on, they say, oh my God. It's a whole different look. The phone goes down. They taking no more pictures.
Selfies. No more selfies.
It's literally the safest way to travel.
It's the safest way.
Not even close.
I have to tell myself that.
Not even close.
Michael.
Hands down, the safest way to travel.
What are you talking? Calm down. Airplane. Calm down. Yeah, it's by far the safest way. But still, you way up there and I ain't controlling nothing.
That's right.
That's
I'm a control
problem.
Freak.
Right. No
I want to go in the front and fly it myself.
Right. I don't want to do that, but I just want to. Yeah, that's a long drop. That's just a long
that's a
drop.
Long
it's
drop.
Scary. Yeah. It's a long drop.
Shoes on or shoes off on a plane?
I go shoes on, because, you know. And then you're going to get up and go to the bathroom, and you guys know, because I know, I miss a lot in that bathroom. It's small areas, confined. You miss a lot in that bathroom. You have to keep your shoes on, because, you know.
Well, that's very Britney Spears to go into a bathroom, a public bathroom with no shoes on. That's what we call Britney Spears.
And in the bathroom, you know, a little area, man, and you're trying to hit a little area, and you know, plane moving. And then you know somebody coming in after you, right? So you're looking down at how much you missed. Like, we missed quite a bit there. So I start grabbing some of the papers and throwing them down, trying to help get it clean. Before the next person come in and say, man, Michael, peed all over the floor. So I try to clean it up, but you miss a lot on the planes.
I mean, you're going to have to stay through like a segment or two because we haven't even talked about football yet. We've had you on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It's conversation about
it. But this is so much more fun than Justin Fields. I'm sorry, it is.
But that's a good conversation, that Justin Fields conversation. Because the question is, and we'll get into it, is are we moving him and looking for a spot as a starter, or are we saying he's not going to be a starter? See, we just assessing this as a starter, and that may not necessarily be the case.
I mean, 844-204-RICH is the number to call. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, here with me, Susie Schuster, in for Rich Eisen. What are they doing there? Because I started the show earlier. I said it's hypothetical Thursday because I got a lot of hypotheticals on my mind. What are they doing? I mean, so we already know that they kind of missed the boat on getting somebody big for him. But is there any, like, let me just ask you that. What are they doing, Michael?
You know what? And since he's been there, there's been a lot of what are they doing? I mean, on the football field, as they bring him along, it's what are they doing? I think Chicago is messed up by even sitting on this, trying to play the long game. We don't know what we're doing. We think it, because you say those things, we don't know what direction that we're going. So everybody that thinks about they want the number one pick, hey, let's start making those calls and see if we can pry that pick away. You knew what you were doing from day one. You knew you were going to draft a quarterback. You should have gone into this saying that, with that mindset, say, you know, yeah, we're looking at those opportunities instead of dragging this out. Because now you drag it out. You dragging it out, and I think he's in a situation now where you got to ask the question, is he going to be a starter where he goes next, or is he going to take a backup role? Because the opportunities are dwindling. Atlanta was a great spot for him, but that's gone now. I thought Pittsburgh was a great spot for him, but they got Russ Wilson now. And they got Russell at the same number they would have had him at about $1.2 million or $1.3 million. He makes $1.6 million. So it was, you know, and now where do you end up going? I threw out the Raiders. I thought there's an opportunity there, but also Denver. Because here's what I say. Remember, Sean Payton liked Drew Brees, but he also had Taysom Hill. So I know Sean Payton likes J.J. McCarthy, but can he also go and get him and use Justin Fields as the Taysom Hill of this team and give him an opportunity to make some plays? I think he's going to have to start not just thinking about where can I go to start, but where can I go to compete for a job and maybe even have to back up on a job.
What's this doing to him mentally?
And this is the whole thing. You're only asking that question because of some of the things he has said. And I believe he's out here because of some of the things he has said. He said, you know, I'm thinking too much on the football field. I just want to play your quarterback. That's the thinking position. I think you hurt yourself by saying that publicly. He said once he scrubbed himself, all his social media, Chicago Bears stuff. He said, well, I'm just tired of dealing with the pressure of, you know, am I being traded, draft, and all that stuff. I'm tired of dealing with pressure. That's what playing the position is, pressure. So I think just saying some of those things doesn't serve him well because you're in, that's the position, quarterback. It's a pressure situation where you have to think and make crucial decisions at the most crucial moments. Somebody should help him to say the right thing when he's talking publicly about his struggles.
Do you see any scenario in which he stays?
It would be the biggest boo-boo screw-up by Chicago to keep him if you go draft Caleb Williams and you keep Justin Fields in the same meeting room and same quarterback room. There's no way you can develop this man and develop this young kid to where he should be, Have his mind focused on him putting out his best with Justin Fields in the same room. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. And it would give so much credence to everything his dad said prior to the process if Chicago comes up and do that. Remember, he was worried about his son going to a horrible organization that didn't know what they were doing, and that's exactly what Chicago would be doing.
Michael, we were talking about this in the break about the dynasty on Apple, the Patriots dynasty.
Right.
And we really got to see at one point what it was like in the locker room with Garoppolo and Brady and the tension between the two. So you were just saying that with Fields and whoever comes up, you've got a quarterback. I mean, I was saying as we started the show, 65 different guys played quarterback position. And we saw what happened with Aaron Rodgers, where you go out there for 5 seconds. In a related story, I'll talk to you about Kirk Cousins next. But, you know, that's the one question I thought was like, well, you know what? And you may have answered it right there, but God, there's so many guys getting hurt. And if you thought that Fields was a good idea, should you keep him? But it seems like after watching this doc, it's just too toxic in the locker room.
It's too much. And you remember now, remember they were chanting Fields. We want Fields at the end of the season last year. We want Fields. We want Fields. The receiver, Moore, he said, no, I want to play with my quarterback. Now play with Justin Fields. Now you bring in, you just put him in a bad situation. The fan base still seeing Fields right there. DJ Moore still seeing Fields right there. And now we got to turn all our attention to Caleb Williams. Yeah, I that would be a bad move. That just would be a bad move.
What do you think about the Calvin Ridley signing?
I thought it was phenomenal. Now, I know a lot of people are blown away with that, but I'm going to tell you this.
That's a lot of money, Irv. A
lot of money. I'm going to tell you something. This dude got a lot of talent. A lot of talent. It hadn't all transmuted to the football field. But when you watch this dude practice, and remember now, Tennessee got a coach that knows him very well, that brought him over there. You watch him practice, you watch his skill set, you say, oh my God, this is the next great thing in the NFL. Doug Peterson thought it was going to be the next great thing for Jacksonville. I guarantee you they didn't want to lose him. That's how the number got up to where it is, because they didn't want to lose him. He has that raw talent, and he has such a work ethic. Coaches fall in love with him. But in 2020, he had 1,300 yards. So he has it. He just hasn't consistently dealt with it and put it up. He had 1,016 last year. But boy, his physical skill set, yeah, he can do all of that. Now the interesting part is, you know, they let AJ Brown go up from Tennessee, and that's basically what he got: 4 years, $100 million, $25 million.
And Ridley's now 3 years older than AJ Brown,
right? And Ridley's older,
yeah,
because he had some situations,
By the way, what time do you have to go?
I don't know what time I'm
Can you stay to like 10, 15, 10, 20?
Yeah, I go another route.
I just gotta weigh these things out. Okay, let's go next. Route. Let's go Kirk Cousins next.
Yeah, let's go Kirk
Cousins. Is he worth this money? Would you have done that signing if you were the GM?
Let me tell you how I explained this on Undisputed, which I just did. My favorite candy growing up was Now and Later. Now and Later. You know, you have some now, they're so good. And you have some later, they still good. That's exactly what I think this is that Minnesota did. This was great, like my favorite candy. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. That was a talented group of guys that's ready to explode right now. And Kirk Cousins gives me that right now. I can explode with this team. I say, with Kirk Cousins, right now, you win the NFC South. You beat Tampa. You played Tampa tough last year. You played me split with them last year, and you didn't have Kirk Cousins. And they did have Baker Mayfield. They got him back, and you got Kirk Cousins now. I say you win the NFC South right now.
Wow.
Because Kirk makes you that good right now. And the deal you sign, I can go and find me. I'm going to get him a young quarterback right now, too. I'm going to put him behind Kirk. Because I need him to transition in 3 years and take that role, and now I get both sides of that young trio of talent. I'll get the best out of them now with Kirk Cousins, and I'm training the guy that's going to take over for Kirk Cousins, and I'll get the best out of them later, just like my candy. Now and later. That's why I like what Minnesota did. They're good right now, and if when they find a great good young quarterback. In 3 years, he'll be just coming into his game. He'll put those Just ride him on in with them young guys, and they'll be good later. It was a brilliant play. Brilliant play by Minnesota. Go all in right now. It was brilliant.
And you're not worried at all about his Achilles, because I look at a 36-year-old player, right, and he says, I've cleared everything but my Achilles, and I won't know until I get out there.
Right. But I was worried about it, but then they're coming up with so many techniques now. We saw Aaron Rodgers out there, man, practicing before the season even ended when he hurt his foot during the season. So I'm not worried about that. You know, people thought Justin Fields going here. I would have been worried about that. Because Justin Fields, who can run around, guys, run around great. I need a disperser of this ball. I need somebody to decipher the defense and get it in the hands of my young talent. I don't want just one young talent holding on to the ball, running around. That's why I thought Kirk Cousins was great, because he's going to lift up the other guys. It's not about him. He's going to disperse that ball.
Yeah, really? Kyle Pitts, Drake London, those guys got to be super happy.
Bad boys.
Yeah.
Bad boys. And think this. You get a Justin Fields coming out of Chicago who's battered, beaten, and bruised by the way they treated him. He needs to see wide open before he throws, because he's, you know, he throws interceptions, he does anything. He's already said, I'm thinking too much. So Kirk Cousins, who's had Justin Jefferson, I've seen Kirk Cousins throw the ball. Don't. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great play. You know what I mean? Drake London is an area code receiver. That means I just need somebody to throw it up in the area code. I'm going to make the play. Right. Justin Jefferson is, I want to see your open kind of quarterback. That matchup ain't great for me. I like the Kirk Cousins matchup. I see him throw balls to Justin Jefferson, so he shouldn't be throwing. I want him to throw those same balls to Drake London. See, I don't think Justin Fields would do that.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get your thoughts on the Cowboys. I'm sure that you have a lot of them, shall we say.
Might have some thought there, too. I'm just back talking now. I just love being back talking.
Michael Irvin ahead on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I feel like I'm more curious about your I'm going to compare your fear of flying with your concerns with the Cowboys. Like, are you more panicked about flying or the Cowboys right now?
That's interesting.
I got a lot of ideas. It's Thursday. It's hypothetical Thursday. You know what I mean?
Interesting question.
Well, I like to come in here and change it up. When Rich isn't here, I think he's always surprised when the show is still on the air after I've come here. I think sometimes I tend to fly a plane with one engine. And is that a good way to put it?
Right.
Mikey, what do you think?
Right. Just the plane I'm afraid to get on.
Why did I tell Susie I'd come in? Wait a minute. Did she just say she wants to fly a plane with one engine? Yes, I did.
Just that plane.
I know, right? But then again, I feel like I don't work for the National Football League, so I can ask questions that maybe would my husband be like, why'd you ask that?
But it also, you got a unique perspective too, though, because when man talks about fear, there are different levels of fear, and then you want to do a comparative analysis to that level of fear. Like, okay, I'm afraid of you over here or this. Like what the Cowboys did now, I'm okay with. Right now, I'm okay with. Now, when we get in the season, be a different thing.
But see, that's what I have to say. It's one thing to be okay with it in March. Right. It's another thing to be okay with it in September. All right, we're going to take a break right here on the Roku channel. Much more ahead with Michael Irvin, the playmaker, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.